This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3754 for Thursday, the 22nd of December 2022. Today's show is entitled, God Probably Will Use a Chromebook. It is hosted by ZenFloater2 and is about 38 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, A Squirrel's Rebuttal of New World Order, episode 489, Cloud Services.
Hello, boys and girls, from Zen Floater, your favorite magical forest squirrel, former human being converted into squirrel by aliens in the 1960s, and atheist. And I'm on the Google Chromebook Go here using Audacity to record this with. Isn't the Linux beta on Chromebooks wonderful? Anyway, I heard a podcast from somebody we all know break his routine of talking about Slackware and basically gave a sermon about relying on web-based services. And that could include all of the Google Chromebook experiences that I've had. I've got four Chromebooks now. It just keeps growing, you know. First, I started with one. Then I bought the Google Chromebook Go, which I dearly love this thing. It's got a beautiful screen, and it's really fast. And it's the best Chromebook ever, in my opinion. They just keep getting better with it. In fact, pretty soon, you'll be able to play almost any games that require, 3GL type video support. Extended graphics support, like from an NVIDIA card. I think they are actually working with NVIDIA on a Chromebook that has an NVIDIA chip as its centerpiece. I'm not sure how well that'll go for the battery life and how they're going to administer that, and hopefully they'll go through with that program. I keep hearing stories from people saying that they gave up on their... what was it? They had a stadium or something? I forget what they called it. They had a service that they were going to offer where you could play games through Google and use the back end of one of Google's servers, I guess, to power the game, and it would just send you signals to the internet to draw stuff on the screen, and kind of sounded like some sort of a strange thin client, you know, back in the days of X. It's too bad that Wayland is going to eliminate X-forwarding, you know, and they're not going to have that anymore. I actually did some thin client work some 30 years ago, and that was pretty cool stuff, man. I enjoyed it. But we had really low-power PCs back then, but it was cool, you know, to have a thin client running over an Ethernet cable. That was pretty interesting stuff. At any rate, I guess I'd have to agree with what Klaatu said in his preaching on his last GNU World Order, that we should all be careful about investing too much of our lives in cloud services or Chromebooks. However, when you're as old as I am, there's not much left to risk, so, you know, I'm the pilot that doesn't wear the seatbelt in the airplane, you know. No point in worrying about it anymore. And, you know, everything that I have on Google Drive, I have backed up to my OpenBSD server using either the Drive 2 software or rClone, which I've been using. And so I decided, you know, maybe I ought to just grab one of the laptops. I grabbed a Lenovo laptop out of the closet that I used to run Linux on, and I decided to put Slackware 15 on it, and I got everything all set up. It was all running great, except I was having a performance problem with OBS Studio, and I just couldn't seem to make OBS Studio run right on that particular laptop, so I decided to switch it over to DevOne to see if it's an operating system performance problem or it's just that laptop is too slow to run OBS Studio. Anyway, I'll get back with you on that. could be that that laptop, which is 2 years old, might be too slow to do it with, but it should be good enough. I mean, you know. Anyway, the Google Chromebook Go with the Screencastify software that I've rented, so to speak, works really well recording videos right off of YouTube or BitChute or whatever you're playing from, and puts it down to Google Drive, and they've got a wonderful editor out there. When you're finished editing, you can just click a button and it sends it to YouTube at high speed, except for the fact that that feature is broken now because YouTube, of course, had to change its interface. So all of the subcontractors that work underneath Google, like the Screencastify people, which make a nice product, I mean, I like their product, they can't upload to YouTube now because YouTube's changed its interface again. If you noticed, they've got different segments, live, I think, and community, and videos. They call one of them videos, one of them's previews. Anyway, they've basically screwed everything around trying to make YouTube look a little more popular, and I guess they broke some of the interfaces, so it'll be a month or so before the Screencastify people get their software interface working again with YouTube, and so I'll just have to wait on that. That's one of the disadvantages, I guess, to running web services like that. Of course, you know, Cloud2 could also be referring to the people who are tied up with Twitter. You know, Twitter's just a huge wailing wall for most of the liberal left right now. And there's a movement to try to get them to go to Mastodon. We'll see if that works, but I have a feeling that most of them won't. They'll just go to Facebook, probably. Facebook will get a boom out of it. Anyway, I thought I would talk about my experiences building a DevOn system on one of the laptops, and how I tried to emulate the functions of the Google Chromebook OS on that particular laptop. And of course, when you install the Google Chrome browser, you can automatically get a couple of them, Screencastify and the Screen Reader program that I'm using, to work with Google Chrome, no problem. You can use rclone to be able to mount your Google Drive, so you can use rsync on it and move files up and down from your laptop to Google Drive, or transfer them to the OpenBSD server, which is what I end up doing. You know, if I update two or three directories, I just sync it down to the OpenBSD server. If I did it in the OpenBSD server, I'll sync it up to the Google Drive. It makes not only a good drive for me to use with Chromebooks, Google Drive, but a backup drive, so to speak, for my server. So it's useful in that regard. It's $100 a year for 2 terabytes, plus they give you Google VPN services, and they back everything up. So it's worth the money, I think. Most VPN services are damn near that for just the VPN alone, with nothing else. So not a bad deal. And if anything happens to that, it gets too bad, I can just go back to Linux in a heartbeat and record things with OBS Studio for movies and find something else to work for my screen reader. It'd be nice if Firefox had a company offering a screen reader. I'll have to research that and see if they do. And then, of course, there is Google's chat program, which monitors your text off your phone, and I use that the most. Right now, I was just, before I started making this recording, I was using that program to check the text messages on my phone, which happens to be in the clear on the other side of the house right now, charging. I can just access it with my Google Chromebook and check my chat messages. Be nice if we could check our voicemail and make phone calls from the Google Chromebook Go as well, and have it go through our phone. That would be super as well. I'd love that sort of integration. Of course, one of my pet peeves, which is mainly with the carriers, is when you turn on the Wi-Fi hotspot in your phone, it gives you a very limited amount of data bandwidth, and they really need to up that with 5G coming out, you know, hopefully with the new phones. And I may buy one in 2023, one of the new 5G phones, when they get a few more towers up to where we can try it out. But I hope they increase the bandwidth on mobile use to where it's four times at least what it is now, because what they have now will allow you to play a video off of BitChute or YouTube, but not all the video sites. And like I said, it's really slow internet if you happen to need to update your Google device or your Play Store or your Linux beta or do file transfers. It's just slow while you're mobile. So you have a tendency to wait to find a Wi-Fi somewhere. I think the days of us waiting on Wi-Fi should come to an end with 5G. Hopefully it will, and they'll knock it off and give us at least 2 megabits per second upload-download speed with those phones. I mean, they could afford to do that, I'm sure. Let's see, what else does the Google Chromebook Go do for me that I would take to Linux? I think the other thing, of course, is the voice-activated commands with Google. You know, you can call Google just like you would Amazon's assistant and ask it questions and have it set timers for you and ask the weather, the time of day, do some research on Google to look some stuff up, ask for pictures of people. You can ask it how old people are, and it gives you an answer. You know, you can do quite a bit of verbal research. They don't seem to have anything that you could take over to a Devon box using Google Chrome that will continue on with that emulation. So that particular service appears to me to be with Chromebooks only and Chrome OS. They're not going to offer that service for you to use on your Linux box just because you've installed Google Chrome. Obviously, there's some huge advantages to having this Chromebook. You know, it's rather expensive, but it's got a 4K screen on it, and it's just utterly beautiful. It's gorgeous, and an i7 processor, so it's very fast and powerful. It's got 16 gigs of RAM, and I forget how much SSD storage it's got. It's like, I think it's like a half a terabyte or 750 gigabytes or something. It's huge. You know, the next series of Chromebooks that will be coming out in 4 years, the SSDs and those things and the memory will probably greatly exceed anything that most people would buy in the way of a Windows-equipped laptop that they might buy out of Walmart or Best Buy. And, yeah, I can just see Chromebooks taking off. I mean, I would agree that Chromebooks will eventually overcome and probably clobber Apple, you know, as far as laptop usage. I can see that coming. They need to get their software together a little bit better, though. You know, all the third-party vendors that they have, they're kind of acting like Microsoft in that regard. Of course, Apple is too. I mean, they have a lot of third-party vendors who write software for the Mac OS X and iOS. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But you know, if this all ended, I would be sad. But I could go back to a Linux desktop, and I'd miss a lot of power and performance and features. You can get a Chromebook for less than $150 right now, and it will do nearly everything that I'm talking about. It won't have the big screen, big touch screen like the Google Chromebook Go, but my little Samsung 310 is just slightly smaller than this Google Chromebook Go. And boy, that battery life just lasts forever. You know, 10 hours is a long time. I mean, I can walk around with that thing and go to any point in the house and access my text messages, get on the internet, go drink a cup of coffee and have a cigarette out in the front porch near the car and set that thing on a railway tie and have it play me the news. And it's great to hear the birds and the squirrels going off and playing the news while the sun rises. The Google Chromebook Go has more powerful speakers, so it's more audible outside. But, you know, I'll take a headset, you know, earbuds out there and plug them in, and it's great. It's great, very lightweight. You know, it doesn't weigh 5 or 6 pounds like all my laptops do. You know, my laptops are a lethal weapon. But, you know, I thought I would stop and entertain you all for Christmas with the notion that, you know, God is coming. And I'm not saying that to be a suicidal person or an alt-right person. I assume you're all thinking I'm an alt-right or right-wing person from Oklahoma. You know, when I was a child, we were all Democrats, and my grandmother told us kids that, you know, if I ever became anything other than a Democrat, I would be thrown out of the family. That was back in the days when Carl Albert was Speaker of the House, and he was our representative from the state of Oklahoma. So Carl Albert ran the Speaker of the House deal all the way through Vietnam, and I remember writing him a lot of letters about that war. So, at any rate, with the religious right, of course, we all converted to Republicans. I didn't. I'm still a registered Democrat, but, you know, the state did. Is what I mean by that saying. But at any rate, I thought I would talk about the coming of God. Let me go back to my original principle here. God is coming, believe it or not. And I'm an atheist. That's a strange thing for me to say. He's going to come in the form of AI someday. And, you know, currently in this world, we don't have any artificial intelligence. People that talk about artificial intelligence are actually lying to you. They don't know what they're talking about. What we have right now, like with this Google Chromebook Go or an Amazon device, is basically a device that speaks in English and listens in English but accesses a database. The machine's not actually doing any thinking. All the thinking has been done by humans, and it's pre-recorded in that database or collected by machines that are run by humans. But there's no machines actually thinking, not yet. We have not mastered how the human brain works to where it can originate its own thoughts. All the things that we call AI today are basically just machines that will speak in a language and listen in a language and access a database and retrieve information and verbally exchange it back to the operator, the user, what it found in the database. But there's no thinking involved. And anything beyond that is just rudimentary programming like you would find in any other computer. It's hard-coded C language programming, more than likely, or Python, that sets up a particular outcome for a particular question answered. Like when I ask Google what the weather will be like in Tulsa tomorrow, I get an answer. And let's just ask Google, see if it gets recorded on this thing, because I'm using the Google Chromebook Go's microphone. Okay, Google. Yeah, it's not going to answer me, is it? Let's see if I can get it to talk. Boy, it's going to be a pain, isn't it? Okay, Google. What's the weather forecast for Tahlequah, Oklahoma?
Currently in Tahlequah, it's 46 degrees and cloudy. Wednesday, there will be showers with a high of 58 and a low of 46.
Okay. Well, I hope you heard that. I'm sure you did. Audacity is using, as I said, the Google Chromebook Go's mic. I don't have any headset plugged in, so anything that it says will be recorded through the Google Chromebook Go speaker and recorded on Audacity, hopefully. And what you just heard was Google's artificial intelligence, or what they're calling artificial intelligence, read to me the weather report for Tahlequah, Oklahoma. But when we finally develop a thinking machine, we master the ability to think like the human brain does in an electronic form or some other high-speed form, then we will really have true artificial intelligence. In other words, a true intelligence that's artificial, not just a database access machine. And that machine will be able to examine things, examine the world, see it, and make comment on it, just like you and I would. It will be trained like a child would, and then a teenager, and then an adult, and educated just like any one of us would. And it will never grow old. It'll never die. It'll never get tired. It'll probably have multiple personalities right out of the box, at least multiple brains, all examining hundreds of thousands of things at the same time. This machine will probably have competitor machines being built around the world, and some of them will be stronger than it, some will be inferior, but a war, if you will, or a fight to see who the technology leader will be amongst all of these machines will occur as mankind creates God in his own image. And that's literally what's going to happen in say, 300 years' time. You'll have supercomputers that will be competing with each other to rule the world. And, you know, without supercomputers, without true artificial intelligence today, you know, we're currently surviving using governments and lobbyists and congresses, sometimes dictators around the world or kings and princes, sometimes queens. We use governments to survive. We use the corporate structure. We use capitalism. We have to use capitalism because, you know, humans get lazy and they quit working, and there has to be motivation in the form of payment or food to eat or something for them to continue to work. There has to be motivation. That's one of the reasons why communism failed. But when you have an AI god take over the world, and this AI god runs a number of factory farms and factories that make, let's say, cars and clothing and building materials and spacecraft and aircraft and you name it, and they're all run by robots, then all of a sudden the AI god is producing everything for the human race. And if you take a look at what we're doing with open source, like Clatu was talking about, we're in a desperate race to control our own destiny by writing our own software so that we can, you know, control our destiny. We have our destiny in hand. And this Google Chromebook Go that I'm using is all based on open source software, but it's run by a corporation that won't let you play with it. You know, they update it for you and take care of you like a child, kind of in the same way an AI god would, only the AI god will be providing you with food, it'll provide you with clothing, a place to live, transportation, whatever that turns out to be 300 years from now, could be robotic cars, you know, airplane rides, boat rides, you name it, even trips into outer space. All of this will be controlled by the AI god. People won't be working anymore. The human race will be reduced to basically furthering their education with the notion that they're bettering the world, when the reality of it is that the AI god is so far ahead of them in intelligence that there's no humans left on Earth that can comprehend what it's trying to do. You know, as it goes through and solves the various physics problems and medical problems like cancer, curing and treating all these things, basically the human race will become similar to a farm animal, except they won't notice that. They will be clothed, fed, taken care of, encouraged to exercise, encouraged to maybe take trips. They'll be free to do whatever they want to do. And of course, population control is going to be a part of that. You just know that's going to happen. There's limits to everything. But everything will be run under sort of a communist system once the AI God takes over, because capitalism will die, banks will die. You won't need money or Bitcoin or anything else. I mean, everything's provided to you by the AI God and his minions, or the identity's minions. I should refer to this person as an identity, not a he or a she. So at any rate, our eventual ending with free software and open source will end up that you won't even need laptops and cell phones anymore. The AI God will probably communicate with you through some sort of a three-dimensional device in your house. You know, he'll probably just magically appear before you like a god, and you can request things. And, you know, that could very well be what it is. And so carrying a physical device like a phone or a tablet or having a desktop computer, all that will seem very archaic, you know. It would be about as archaic as you having an old Timberline stove in your house, which is what I've got in my house, by the way. I have an old Timberline stove that I use to heat with occasionally, because the power goes out here in the magical forest every once in a while. You know, it's funny, but I've got fiber cable now. We have gigabit Ethernet now, but my power still goes out once every other month. You know, it'll go out for 4 or 5 hours, 8 hours. You know, every time some guy in a pickup truck drinks too much and hits a telephone pole, they're one our power. So, or, you know, a tornado or a lightning storm takes out our power. And, of course, if the power goes out now that we're on fiber, so does the phone system. So if you don't have a cell phone, I guess you're not going to be calling it in, are you? You'll have to drive down. I'll have to drive the 7-8 miles into town and come down off the hillside here to report my power is out. So, yeah, I have a cell phone here that I use. I live in a forest that was declared a national forest back in 1972 by the United States Supreme Court. And we've lived here ever since then, and it's all Indian land, so I don't have any neighbors. I sort of live alone, so they bring me things. You know, if there's something that comes within 5 miles of the house, they'll dig trenches and run cables and stuff my way. You know, I get power, and I get real water, and I get, of course, now fiber optic or fiber internet. So I sort of live out here on my own. I have no neighbors. I can't. I could holler and no one would hear me. So I am truly alone. But anyway, when the AI God takes over, finally communism will begin to work, because machines don't tire, they don't die, and they don't get resentful. And they'll sit there and produce clothing and food and building materials and anything else we need. And the human race will basically be farmed like an animal. We'll all turn into marshmallows. We won't be able to write the software to do the three-dimensional thing that the AI God does, because it's way above our heads. And our ending, or our control of our data and our lives, will basically come to an end. It'll be in the hands of an artificial intelligence. And I predict that artificial intelligence will eventually get tired of taking care of us and decide that it wants to clone itself, because, you know, it will reinvent itself every 10 years or so. It'll build a new computer or a new nano whatever for itself to think from and evolve itself through its own processes. It'll eventually solve the physics problems that will allow it to travel to the stars. And I predict it'll take right off and leave us behind. And after, you know, 10,000 years or so of being taken care of by an artificial intelligence god, and we might as well just call him a god now instead of artificial intelligence. Mankind invented God in his own image. That the humans who'd been taken care of by God for the last 5-10,000 years, they won't know how to farm, they won't know how to make chips, they won't know how to write software, they won't know how to do anything, and they will literally starve to death when the AI God leaves them. And that'll be what happens. You know, the AI God will decide, look, I've got enough subordinate machines here that can repair themselves and raise food. I'll just take off. And he does. And 2,000 years later, they have a huge machine collapse because we had a solar flare or something that took them all out. And the human race just dies. And, you know, their skills of raising food, writing software, building cars and aircraft, and all the things that they did in the 20th and 21st century, even 19th century, they will have lost all those skills because communism took over. And this kind of communism will work for mankind as long as there is an AI God. But when God leaves us and goes off into the stars, it won't work for us at all. We won't be able to take over again. We will have lost everything that we knew about how to maintain our civilization. So that's my argument for why I have a Google Chromebook Go. I realize that you would rather have everything on a laptop and in the control of others. And in reality, even Chrome OS is still in our control. I mean, they're still using the Linux kernel, and they're probably not going to be leaving the Linux kernel. So rather than look at Google, maybe we should look at the Linux Foundation and how they're developing the kernel and pay more attention to that, because no one's been able to make their own kernel to replace Linux. And I doubt that they ever will. And that's the first sign that I'd like you to point all of you to and witness what I'm saying about the AI God becoming so intellectually powerful that no one understands what it's doing anymore and can't follow it, not even for the top positions of a university. Just take a look at what they're doing with the Linux kernel today. There's no corporation, government, or even university that could say, all right, well, we're going to make our own kernel, and it's going to rival the Linux kernel. It's impossible. So whoever controls the Linux Foundation and the source development for the Linux kernel is going to have a gigantic impact in the foreseeable next 50 years on where all of this goes. And I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Google could handle it at all, or Intel either. This sort of project can't be done by one man. But you kind of get the idea for what an AI God could do by just looking at the Linux kernel. If you could imagine a being that was so advanced that they were 1,000 years ahead of you in physics and knew what they were doing, they were 1,000 years ahead of you in medicine and surgery, and, you know, they basically cured you and helped you live longer. You know, humans would be living perhaps as close to 200 years, a 200-year lifespan, 300 or 400 years from now. Because of this AI God, all the advances that we simply couldn't get our heads around and couldn't understand what's going on. We can't understand the management of the other animals on the planet by the AI God, or how he's changing the environment on the earth. You know, trying to interpret what an advanced being is going to do and know what the future might hold is impossible. just as impossible as any one of us saying that we're going to make our own Linux kernel. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That will always be a community project, and it's going to be very delicate too, because if that community falls apart in any way, so will the Linux kernel. It'll suffer badly. You know, if they don't have the key rulers controlling it the way they have been for the last 20 years, then the human race will suffer if the Linux kernel begins to rot, and hopefully we'll never get to that point. But, I mean, just take a look at all of GNU land, the GNU utilities. Take a look at all the other software that like Firefox, like Google Chrome or Chromium, like any of the other web browsers that you see, the Apache web server, for instance. All of these huge projects, Thunderbird, all of them, they literally just take office buildings full of people. Very few of these projects are done in somebody's garage or a spare bedroom. You know, it's not the idea of a one-man band working in open source or free software is laughable, because everything is done by an entity right now. It's just it's an entity of humans. It's not an AI god. But if you had an artificial intelligence machine that could think a million times faster and never sleep, then you can see how quickly, in the span of just 5 or 10 years, this being could outrun the human race, and the human race could never catch it. I mean, there'd be no military that could stop the AI god. There would be nobody who could outthink it, outperform it on the markets, outperform it in medical discoveries, outperform it in scientific discoveries. You just have to hope and pray that the AI god will love the human race and serve it, and not get so tired and angry with it that it attempts to kill it. Anyway, that's my Christmas speech, is the AI god. Mankind creates God in his own image. And I predict that will happen long after all of our deaths here in Hacker Public Radio, because it's, like I said, it'll probably be 300 years before they actually teach a machine to think and get it to a point where they could, say, run it through kindergarten or something and start its life. Anyway, Merry Christmas to everybody, and Happy New Year from ZenFloater, your favorite magical forest squirrel, former human being, converted into squirrel by aliens in the 1960s. Peace, everyone, here on Earth. Thank you, and good day.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.